We're starting some kuf halachiyed. Chavis like this: Yisrael shenos in kesef uman of kuchavim. A yid took his silver and he gave it to an uman who was not Jewish. Lasses him in a kli. The goy should make him a kli. Einoy tzarich tefila. That kli doesn't need tefila. Which is to say, I took a piece of silver. Excuse me. I handed it to the goy. I said, make me a kli. So then when he finishes, he gives it back to me. Okay, so I paid him for making the kli for me. So that kli doesn't need tefila because it's my silver, it's my kli. The fact that he did the work doesn't make a difference. The Yesh Chok, and Rama says there are those who argue. So this part, this Machaber Rama, excuse me, we're going to talk about second. But what they're arguing about, the Shail, is whether you have to fix it or not, whether you have to type it or not. The Yesh Tovel at Bracha, so the Rama says to be Machmir to Tovel at Bracha. And now the Rama says, Ve Mitzat HaKesesh Nasmen HaKli Shalev Kechavim, Tzor Tzvila. If the guy contributed metal towards making it, which is to say, I gave him some silver, and he took some of his own silver, and then he made that silver and my silver together into a kli, then you have to title it. The other reason is simpler, because over there, the kli is partially made, partially with the yid's silver, partially the guy's silver, so since it's partially his silver, so now it's a kli that was owned by him, and now when I buy it from him, when I pay and therefore take the whole kli for myself, now that kli belongs, it is a kli that was a guy's, and now it's a yid's, so now I have to title it. Okay, so the second part of it, which we're going to talk out of order, we're going to do that part first. The second part of the Rama is a more straightforward one.
So, clearly, you don't have to say, you don't have to go. If you buy his chaylik, you have to...
Right, that's going to come in a later than even more prepared. Yes, correct. If you buy, if it's a shutfus of yid and a guy, and then the yid takes on the full ownership, the yid is chayv and tila.
Okay. Then, a while ago, this is a little piece, he's bought your butter.
Yes, well, that's going to be a later
thing.
It's going to be a later thing.
Is this a case of
shutfus? It was temporarily a shutfus. You gave him some silver. Right. Some of the silver was his. So when he made the kli, it was now a kli that was partially... You took it back from him. Now you had paid him the dollar for the work, and now the kli is completely his. So it went from being belonging to both of them, so to speak, to now belonging just to the yid, to now tithing too.
If he would leave some of it by the guy...
If the guy would retain ownership, then it would
say,
be...
Say, no, I'm going to pay everything except for a dollar.
Well, but if there would be a shutfus, that's going to be a later than about a shutfus.
No,
guys, you were off topic. Way off topic. That's coming. It's not making me grow. Okay, now, what we're going to pull out of this, is a case. It's not on the screen. It's a case. We'll do this first. It's a case. It's something called retinning. Okay. retinning. Okay. Which means is we went together to it. Retinning means is in a bakery. In a bakery, they have a zillion sheet pans. And with time, those sheet pans get beat up and worn down, and they don't look so put together. And they send them out. They send them to a company who redoes them. What the company does, first they clean them. They do a real job of cleaning them. And then they put in a new layer of tin on top of the clean.
Well, what is the clean?
It's a tin pan.
The whole thing's tin through and through?
Or but it's some kind of it's a metal. It's a sheet pan.
But it was coated with tin, and the tin wore
out. It itself is wearing down. It's not coated with anything. Sometimes they put a new coating on it.
It was originally
coated on those. Yeah.
It was originally coated with tin. The coating wore off, and now that's really...
Okay, so...
All just clean it.
Right, they do clean those, correct. Now, so there's a shilut in the place, so that's what I'm going to tell you this machlok in the place about whether you have to toivel that, whether you may have to toivel it again. What I mean is, when North Shore Bakery bought the pan, they toiveled it. Okay, and now it went to the guy, and the guy put on a new layer, and now there's a question that has to be titled again, now that it went out for this new layer. Okay, and...
They might just clean it.
Sometimes they just clean it.
You know. And you don't need to...
You think you know what got what?
You pay for it. Oh. You pay for the service.
Your choice.
Yeah, you're paying for the service. Depending on what you ask for, that's what you do. Okay, so now...
Glading is not Chaim and Tvila, right?
Let me talk. So there's a machlokes. The Mizrahi says like this. Now the Mizrahi and Kamat, everybody who's talking about this are talking about the shayla that we went to the place for to see it, which is what?
No Mizrahi and Ashi.
Yeah. It's Chuvas. His Chuvas. He talks about it. He talks as do most of the people talk about it. L'inyan,
whether it has to be kashered, whether it has to be kashered. Which is to say, if you have a treif sheet pan and you send it out to be get this tinning done to it, does that qualify, or if that process is done, do you still have to kasher? Okay, that's a, most of these places we're talking about at that child. Okay, that's not what we're talking about.
But how is it clean? Water?
That's what the shadow was, and we probably talked about only Tagos Kalem. There's lots of steps to the cleaning them. And they're talking about whether you have to kasher, whether you have to kasher, was treif, you did this process with, now you have to kasher afterwards. Okay? So the Mizrahi says he has three reasons why you don't have to kasher afterwards. Okay? And his second one is, I believe it's the second one, is that when you have the original sheet pan, and now you put on this new coating of tin on the top of it, you put this new coating on top of it, so it's as if you have two kalim. You have an original kli, and now you have a new kli on top of the original kli. So even if the inner kli is treif, but blias can't get from the inner kli out to the food, okay? Because there's a new kli. Okay. So we're not here from his. He argues. He says this. No, it's two kalim. It's a kli with another kli on top of it, and therefore, And therefore,
it's not like the RNA.
Wait, the one that Mizrach is thinking
is actually really correct. Okay, so he says, and then he goes a step further. Okay, we're not talking about how goes Kael angle of it. He says, and therefore, when the Yid gets his Kli back, when the Yid gets the Kli back, he has to title it again. Because just like it's two Kalim, we're inging that the Bli doesn't go through from the inside, from the original Kli, into the food, so too there's a new layer. So too, there's a new layer over here, and that new layer is a new kli, and it was never titled. So when you send out the kli for this process, you have to then title it again. So that's what the Mizrahi says. Okay, and the Prichoder says no. He says that new layer is not titled Tfilas Kalim because it's only the Lenoi. Okay, which is to say, he compares it. He compares it to Din that Darmas says beforehand that if a person has a wooden pitcher. And on the spout has metal on it. So the Rama says, if the spout is metal, Hagamba, that touches the water that pours out of the pitcher, he says, you're not having to be as Kalim because the spout is just decorative. Okay, it you don't need it to be functional, and therefore, since it's just decorative, so therefore it's not having to be as Kalim. So Prichoder says the same thing over here also. The sheet pan was fully functional. The fact that you put on a new layer is just lenoy, just makes it look nice, and therefore he says it's not having to be as Kalim, it's not considered. It's not. It is metal that's touching the food, but it's not something that if Chaim feels good.
Sent it because it wasn't functional.
No,
it improved its functionality. That's
okay, so he's learning that maybe the cleaning of it is to make it more functional, but putting on a new layer is just to make it nice and pretty.
That's
what he says. That's what he says. That's what it is. And it may very much depend on the materials. Okay, so the Prichoder says no. It's only annoying since it's annoying. Doesn't attack Chaim feel. Okay, so now there are some Achorim. Why did you say? More prominent among them, who accept the Prichoder and say it's not Chayim Tfilas Kalim. Okay? The Mishabura and many others say that you should do Tfilah, they say do Tfilah without a bracha. And there's two different ways that they say that din, that you do Tfilah without a bracha. Some say this, it's a machlekes haboiskim. The Mizrahi says this way, and the Prichoder says this way, so you should do Tfilah without a bracha. Okay? That's how some understand it. And there's another way to understand it, which I think is the Magen Avraham. It's actually brought, the Magen Avraham is brought in the Kivikur, back on the very first din. Okay, it's the second, it's a little Rabbi Kivikur. He says, Kelem Shehud Palu, Ba'achakach Tzipam Ba'avar, Tzrichet Tfilah Sheinis. Okay, you put on a new layer, you need Tfilah, I am Magen Avraham. Okay, and if you look in the Magen Avraham, it says here, it's in Chav Vav, it's in Chav Zayin. If you look in the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham says like this. The Magen Avraham is talking about the kashering part of it, as I said, he's talking about, yes, Tafnun Aleph. Tafnun Aleph, Sifkot and Chav Zayin. So I think it says Chav Vav, but it's really Chav Zayin.
Mine says Chav Zayin.
Okay, so you have the fancy one. Mine says Chav Vav. So the Magen Avraham is talking about the kashering of it, and after he says Mizrahi, he says, you're not mukhrif to kasher it because it's like a new layer. He brings this Mizrahi, he says, you're not mukhrif to kasher it. He says, in Tfilas Kalim, Ayin Simen Kuf Chav. Okay, what's that? I mean, what is it? He's trying to remind you with how Tfilas Kalim. Like, what's he telling you? And the Mizrahi himself tells you. The Mizrahi, it's not like he doesn't say it. The Mizrahi says, and if you want to know about Tfilas Kalim, this is what you think. You don't have to title it. Okay. So what I think what he's trying to say is like this. Maybe it's conjecture, but this is what I think he's trying to say. This is what David had mentioned before. Let's say that the Mizrahi is correct. Let's say that's correct, that it's considered a new kli. This is this new layer on top of an old kli, and therefore a new kli needs to be titled again. Okay. Well, in the beginning of Kuf Chof, in the first halacha, is a machlokes mechaper n'ramo. What happens if you have a kli that's not chayiv in tefillah, and you put on top of it another layer that is chayiv in tefillah? Okay, what's the din if you, which is what the Rambam is going on? How much super if you take a kli that's not chayiv and you put on top of it a kli that is chayiv? In the case of the Shulchan Aruch was you took cheres and you put on top of it metal. Okay. But in our case, it's the same thing. You took a base which is not chayiv in tefillah's kelim. Because already had Tfilas Kelim. It's not Chayim Tfilas Kelim, and you put a layer on top of it that is Chayim Tfilas Kelim. So what's the din? So the Machaber says, you have to title it again. It's almost like a Ferish Gemara, you have to title it. Okay, so when the Mizrahi says you have to title it, it's because that's the simple sin that you have to title it. But the Ramah there says you should not title it. Okay, you title that a bracha. So when the Magen Avraham says, with the Mizrahi, if you want to know what the din is, you have to title it, you have to go look in Siman Kuf Chof, because you're going to find out that even if the Mizrahi is correct, that it's chayiv in tefillah, even if he's correct in the theory of it, that it's chayiv in tefillah, but in Lamaisa, we, Pastor Dramo, will say that's only tefillah without a bracha. Okay, so we're not saying, do tefillah without a bracha because we're mesupik, if we say the Mizrahi would be chodesh, it's tefillah without a bracha because it's a kli that's not chayiv in tefillah, coated with a kli that is chayiv in tefillah. Well, in that case, Dramo said to only do tefillah without a bracha. Okay, if you remember, one of our hezbeirim in that Ramo, who's going not like a Beferi Shigamar, is that...
Mishmur doesn't say that?
He just says, Mishmur says, Tavu Vlad Abracha. The Achronim say, Tavu Vlad Abracha. He doesn't explain why you should Tavu Vlad Abracha. What's going on behind the scenes?
So this is what it means then, right?
Some say that's because the Machlok Sapayis came, so Tavu Vlad Abracha. That's what some say. I'm explaining to you how I think what the Magen Avraham is hinting at, and why the Rekrieg brings it over there. I don't know if that's a deal.
But
he needs to say it's Tavu Vlad Abracha because... At most, it's just a kli that's coated. A coated kli, if the top coat, the coating needs to, and the bottom doesn't, then tefillah without a bracha. That's what we do anyhow. So we could follow up the Mizrahi and take tefillah without a bracha because of that.
So if you're right, then Sfardim would...
Then Sfardim would say, Sfardim, Rav Avadi says, not tefillah. Okay, so Sfardim, modern Sfardim would follow Rav Avadi. And Rav Avadi says, like the Pichodesh, he's right, and it's Lenoi, you don't have to... So he has a whole lot to say about it. But that's someone, he says like that. But if from Mizrahi's perspective, it would be right to say you should tefillah with a bracha, because, of course, he holds like a Mechaber. Okay, but the Ramah, who says you should tell without a bracha, that would be the, that's what's behind it. Okay, there's others in the Prim Gadol also says you should tell without a bracha. The Rekrieg here brings it, tell without a bracha. Okay, on to our next thing.
Okay. Is that true that we are retaining people to do it today in Lenoi? Bakeries do it in Lenoi?
Yeah.
Not really?
What do you think they do? No. There's two parts of the process.
Lenoi in the back, they're not doing Lenoi.
They're cleaning it is because you got to clean it. Okay, why do they put a new layer on top of it?
It makes it much smoother. It makes it the product comes out.
It's hard for me to believe just for looking at it. The back of the thing is spending money.
Well, consumers don't see it.
Just to make their nice things look nicer.
So,
things, if it works, okay. It's good.
So if you, without getting back into that shiloh, why the Ramah says, not like the Gemara. The Gemara says that the coding type, you do have to tell you, and the Ramah says, tell you that bracha. At the time we have talked about, it's not always so clear what's functional and what's Lenoi. Because of the question that case by case it may be functional, maybe Lenoi, that's why you do tefillah without a bracha, maybe? Okay. Or you guys, you're arguing that, like the Mizrahi, that it's Mechuyev in tefillah. It's Mechuyev in tefillah min adin. It'll be a bracha without anyhow, because of the other din. Okay? So we assume. We're Mazaras, the people take care of those places, that they have to title them. They send out the sheep pans for retinning. When they come back, they got to be titled again. You should think about it. You should think it's you title when you buy it. Okay, here you have to title it when they send it out. And, okay.
Are we concerned they got switched and conscience was
that, that, yeah, that's the bakery's own issue to make sure when they send out pans, they get the same pans back. Yeah? Yes, of course. Okay, now to on to other topic. I hope we have time for it. Which is like this. The Mechaber and the Ramah, the Mechaber said, you gave the silver to the guy. Okay.
That's just the money, right?
What is it made out of?
These shiny reflective things that the I asked you once about this.
I don't remember.
There were these shiny reflective dishes, and if you put them in the dishwasher, all the reflective part on top gets
washed away.
Yeah. you send it back to the company and it gets
refinished.
Does that mean the field is coming
in? I don't remember. So you have to answer me after. Okay. It depends on details. I don't. Okay. So now, on to our Mechaber Norma. The Mechaber said, a Yid gave the silver to the guy, and the guy made the kli, not having tefillah scale. And then the guy, of course, gave it back to him, not having tefillah scale. And the Rama said, Yesh chalkan, so you should tell that about him. Okay, what's going on here? What's the question here? The question is, the reason why you should potentially need tefillah scale is because of a concept called Uman Kanim B'Shvach Kli, some big words over there, Uman Kanim B'Shvach Kli, which means to say is that when an Uman does work, and he takes some raw material, some you know, raw materials, and he makes it into something else, then he has a kinyan in that, at least in what he improved, let's say, in what he improved, and it's so partially his. So now, the guy took my silver, took my glob of silver, and turned it into a kiddush cup, so that kiddush cup now is chayav tefillah scale, because it was partially the guy's. The guy owned part of the kiddush cup. Now when he gives it back to me, now I've taken it from the guy, and I'm chayav tefillah scale. Okay? That's what the Rama would say, potentially, and the Mechaber says, no, we do not say Uman Kohen B'Shvach Kli, it's not the truth, we don't say Uman Kohen B'Shvach Kli, and therefore, it's completely Yid. The Yid took the silver, the guy did something with it, but basically it was the Yid from beginning to end, it's not having tefillah scale. Okay, now, without getting into the details, even if you hold like the Rama, that Uman Kohen B'Shvach Kli, even were we to say that, which of course, you see, it's a Machlokes here, Uman Kohen B'Shvach Kli, there are a lot of other details that have to work here. Excuse me. In order to make Yechayv and Tfilas Kelim, which is to say, is when we say that the guy has a kinyan of Umu Kone B'Shvach Kli, some argue, this is a long taz here, some argue that owning it as an Umu Kone B'Shvach Kli is not enough to make Yechayv and Tfilas Kelim. It's not like Klei Midyon, it's not Shmoyolov. Others say, well, maybe it depends what he owned. Maybe his ownership is only on a part that's so minimal that does make Yechayv and Tfilas Kelim. Maybe it depends lots of details. Okay, but for our purposes, the Ramah Shita doesn't start unless you say Umu Kani B'Shvach Kli. If Umu Kani B'Shvach Kli, the guy has some type of ownership, and therefore when I get back from him, now I'm Chayiv and Tfilas Kelim. Okay, now, we're not going to talk about it today, but today we're going to talk about this din of Umu Kani B'Shvach Kli and how it relates to us. Next time, Rit Hashem, we're going to talk about a very practical application. It sounds very what's the case of this? We'll talk next time. We're going to find out a very practical application of this. Okay. So this question of whether Umu Kanev Shachli, the Gra says to look, he says you should know. It's not only in Yeridah. It's actually also in Choshe Mishpat and in Eben Ezer. He tells you two places to look to find out about this thing of Umu Kanev Shachli. So if you look over there, you find out that the Mechaber is consistent. Okay, the Shita of the Mechaber is consistent. Over here, he said, we don't say Umu Kanev Shvach Kli. In Choshe Mishpat, he also says, we don't say Umu Kanev Shvach Kli. In the case of Choshe Mishpat, it's a case to take money away from somebody. Okay, what happened is that I gave a piece of wood to the Uman. Okay, the wood was worth $50. I gave him $50 worth of wood. He took the wood and he made a box out of it. And now the box is worth $75. Okay, so he took my $50 wood and he improved it to make it worth more. And now something, the box got damaged in a way that the Uman is responsible for getting damaged. So the Shaila is, does he owe me $50 or does he owe me $75? Does he owe me $50 because that's what I gave him? I gave him $50, he has to give me $50 back. Or does he owe me $75 because a $75 box broke? So it depends if Uman kind of is back clean. If the Uman is kind of the extra $25 worth, he doesn't have to pay me for that. That was his. But got damaged. So the Mechaber there says, we do not say Umun Kohen B'Shvach Kli.
And if he's only credit when I pay him.
He didn't decide on it. It broke before he gave it to me. I gave it the wood to the Uman, yeah. And the Uman, made the Kli,
yeah.
And now it got destroyed. So does he owe me just to give me my $50 back for my wood?
And then they have to, if he pays me, I have to pay him also.
Say it again?
That's paying for the work.
When he gives me the $75 of the box, I'll pay him his $5 for doing the work for me. Yeah, I'm going to pay him the $5, but does he owe me $75 or does he owe me $50? If he just owes me for my wood because the box was his.
Also, if I doubt that went up, I'm going to have to pay.
You're not going to pay. No, you made a deal with him. He said, I'm going to give you $50 worth of wood and $5 for your efforts.
Isn't only the box. Only the value of his payment? You mean
the value of the improvement.
The balance of the
right, that's the point. That is all his. It's out tonight that when I pay him the $5 for the work, he has to give that to me.
We have a premium.
Of course the improvement is worth more, or else he wouldn't pay that much for it. Or else you have to pay more than that. Okay, whatever. That's what he has. So, So the din there is, we say we do not say umukhani shakli, even though that means is he has to pay me more. Okay, that's what the Machabes is. In Nebuchadnezzar, it's a case where a person said, a man said to a lady, with the money that you're gonna owe me for making something for you, for being uman, I'm gonna make an uman, for that money, I want you to be mukudeshus to me. Okay? With that money. So the Machabes says, Eid mukudeshus. Uman is not kind of a shakli, he has nothing to give her, and she's in mukudeshes. He says, v'yesh armim, that she's mukudeshes. Which is understood that there's a chumra of eshes ish. I mean, there, if we're wrong about this din, then she's an ish. We're saying, ain't mukudeshes is pretty serious. So there, the chumra, he says, v'yesh armim, not even to the first sheet, v'yesh armim, that she's mukudeshes. So, basically, the machaber is consistent. Okay? The Ramah is not so clear. Okay? The Ramah, by us said, you should be machmer that uman kind of a shakli. In Ebenezer, it's not clear to me, I don't know how you read it. In Ebenezer, after the Machaber says, Eini Mekudeshes, V'yesh Armim that she's Mekudeshes, and the Ramah says, he explains, because in case it's talking about an Uman, because the Uman has this kind of a Shvachli. I'm not sure if we should read that as he's being accepting the later Shita. Okay? He explains the second Shita, he doesn't say which way he holds. Okay? But what we're surprised by is what's in Chosh Mishpah. Okay? And what is like this? If you look in Chosh Mishpat, now I'm sorry about the yellow lines. You'll see where they fit, but whatever.
Now, when there are mostly, you've got to table it because Uman is
Kedesh.
Is that with a bracha or without a bracha?
Without a bracha. It's a suffix. It's a suffix of Uman Kedesh. Okay. So in Chosh Mishpat, in the regular Shulchan Aruch, it says like this: Uman Kedesh Vachli. You didn't see the beginning words. Okay. The Machabe says, you have to take the thing called Ein Ha'umun Kanebe Shvachli. Okay, I know it looks funny here, but the Machabe says Ein, and the Ramah says, and it says, Ein Ebenezer Sim Chachas Sif Tezvav. Okay, that's weird. This child that the other thing I told you. So if the Ramah over there was the Machmer for Umun Kanebe Shvachli, over here he's telling you, Ein Ebenezer, that over there, we're Machmer to say Umun Kanebe Shvachli.
Or even Umun is a Muzak.
Over here, the Uman is not a Muxik. He's not a Muxik, he's the Uman. He has to pay more.
No, he's a Muxik on the money. You want to charge him. You want more money from the Uman.
And you still, and the Machaber says, still we say, it's being Machmer in this case. That would be consistent. If this is what the Ramah said, that would be consistent. Because in our case, it would be Machmer the Uman kind of a Shvachli. And there he's saying is, hold on to your money. Yeah, in each case, he's saying, it would be, if that's what the Ramah says, it would be right. Okay, the only problem is, the Machaber says in every case, Ein Uman Kanebe Shvachli. In all the cases. But he doesn't. So the Shach says, the person could say Kimli like the other Shita. Okay, but the Machaber says, I'm so sure that Ein Uman Kanebe Shvachli. I'm so sure that you can't, you have to make the guy pay money, even though it's to be mighty money from the guy. Okay? The Shach says, no, you can say Kimli. But the Machaber is very convinced of that. Okay, but that's what it says in the regular Shulchan Aruch. Okay, but if you look in the more modern Shulchan Aruch, okay, in the one that's called Tzuras Adav, you'll see that the Ayin Ebenezer Simon Chavches is in a different font. Okay, and the reason why it's in a different font, no, that's not why. The reason why it's in a different font, it's in a different font because all the comments that we have in squiggly letters after the Machaber are not all written by the Ramah. So they put into a different font to tell you that Ayin Ebenezer is not written by the Ramah. And the Machon Yishlaim one is even more dramatic. Okay, they just put it on the bottom of the page. Okay, they don't even put it in the Ramah. They just put Ayin Ebenezer Simon Chavches, that somebody stuck in the comment here that you see Simon Chavches, which is appropriate, because over there it talks about Uman Kanebe Shvachli, but the Ramah didn't say that. Okay, it's not. What did you say? Maybe it is. I don't know who it's from. I don't know who it's from, but it's not. What I mean is, so it just leads me, it leads me to the question, how come in Yerdea the Ramah is saying, be machmed, say Uman Kanebe Shvachli. You should be machmed, Uman Kanebe Shvachli. Maybe in Eben Ezra he says it also, be machmed, say Uman Kanebe Shvachli. And in our day we're saying it's a derayah, it's also machmed. Over here, why isn't he arguing over here? The guy could keep his money. Over here we're being mighty money. So if there's a tzad to say that you should be machmed, say Uman Kanebe Shvachli, then the guy should say yes. Hey, don't take the money. The Ramah is saying also, that no, you can't take the money away from the guy because l'chorma, we should say, Uman Kanebe Shvachli, it's my money. You prove that it's not like that. Which is not the Shach says it from the angle of Kimli. The guy can say, you can't take my money. But why doesn't the Ramah say, I am Ebenezer? Why doesn't he say something? It's funny over here. Why is Ramah not saying in this case, say Uman Kanebe Shvachli? Okay. So So the let's move on to another case. But again, the real halacha maaseh is going to be mentioned next time. Okay. So we're leading up now towards that, and that's like this. There's a tshuva in Igus Marsha, and others say the same thing. It says like this: this shayla that we have, that umen kainu mishpachli, this thing that we have, what's the problem? He doesn't look happy. Okay. This thing that we say that umen kainu mishpachli, that's talking about when we have. Like the case of the Mechaber. I gave the guy some silver, and the Uman created something out of this thing. He was an Uman who made something out of this. But he says, if I have a factory, okay, if a Yid owns a factory, and he pays a bunch of people $8 an hour to make, okay, I'm sorry, now to pay $15 an hour to make something for him, okay, he pays hourly employees to work for him, there isn't a question, everyone agrees that those workers have no rights to the kli. There's no umen kainu mishpach kli. Nothing like that at all. Okay, umen kainu mishpach kli. It's in the words of actually in the Ramah in Eben Ezra. Umen kainu mishpach kli is when the guy's an umen who's a kava and he takes a thing, he makes something out of it. What?
It's back out. Workers are gone.
Okay. So if these guys are just paid by the hour or they're just sitting there making the factory, we don't say umen kainu mishpach kli. Okay. So it appears. Okay, at first glance, at least it appears that there's a Chochmas Adam who argues on this. Okay, and the Archa Shochad and all different struggles. What is the Chochmas Adam trying to say? Chochmas Adam says, a Yid owns a huta, okay,
steel factory.
A factory. So in, they tell me that in he says it that way, and so did the dictionary looked and says that a huta means. Iron factory. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Language?
Polish. I'm sorry, it's a Polish word. Okay.
No,
Polish word. So, yeah. No. He just says our Polish company. We have a Polish people. But you should just know that the word is also used also with the way the Chochmas Adam talks about, which is for a glass factory. Okay. It seems like it's not so stuck on being iron. Iron and steel.
Yeah,
and the Chazal is talking in Yiddish. You know what I'm saying? His Yiddish, anyhow, it's used nowadays also in that way, also in for glass factories, okay, in Polish. So the Chazal says, you have a Yid who owns a huta where they make glass. So the Chazal says, but the guy and the guy who working there. So the Chazal says, he says it's not so clear whether it's chayv and tefillah or not chayv and tefillah. Meaning, but the point is now that glass was now sold to Yidden. Okay, Yidden bought it from him. So the question is, does it belong to a Yid own the materials from the beginning? So maybe it shouldn't be chayv and tefillah. We'd say, no, maybe the guy made it, it should be chayv and tefillah. So he says, it's not so clear. He says, so if it's really difficult to type of the glass, then you could be makel because glass is on chayv and rabbanan, and therefore you can be makel and not be type of the glass. Which is to say, between the lines you're reading, that if it was a huta that made real iron instead of making glass, okay, if it was really for making metal kalim, then you would be chayv and tefillah. Okay, so the Aruch Shulchan says, what's going on here? Why chayv and tefillah? Obviously, it's because of umen kainu mishpach kli. That's the thought here, is that the workers who are there have some ownership in the kalim that they're making, because umen kainu mishpach kli, and the Rama says, if umen kainu mishpach, if there's such a situation, then you should tell without a bracha. So they said, what's going on here? These guys just working in a factory. So what's the Aruch Shulchan says, he said, they make hundreds or thousands of kalim over there. He said, they don't have any ownership in that, which is what we see a lot of Achronim saying nowadays also, is that, come on, the guys just pay by the hour. They have no umen kainu mishpach kli. Okay? So I'm going to try to give you two possible hesberim as to what
how to... What'd
you say? No, he doesn't talk about it. No. That I'm aware of. No, he doesn't quote it. The other story has very little to say about it. It's a couple of lines at the end of the tshuva. Aruch HaShulchan says, he says, I don't know what he's talking about. Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Chochmas Adam, he says, I don't know what he's talking about. Okay, so like this. I have two variations of how to say it. I don't think they're so different from each other. Okay, the first is like this. Nowadays, we... Like 100 years ago, they figured out how to make glass by machine, okay? But it didn't used to be like that, okay? Glass wasn't made by machine. Glass was made by hand. It was a big skill to make glass. So in the Chai Adam's, Chochmas Adam's huta, he handed, a guy sat down in the morning, and he gave him a big pile of sand, okay? And he came back at the end of the day, and you had your bunch of glasses that he had made for you, Okay? So Kenzain, that even though by a regular factory employee that we talk about nowadays, who's sitting there churning out widgets, you know, by the hour, is doing that, I don't mean to say whether it's a skill or not a skill, but it's the guy sitting there just doing a repetitive pressing buttons, I'm paid by the hour, not by my skill, then that person has no shaykhas to kanu shaykhli. As opposed to a huta where you say, okay, here's a pile of sand, and here's an oven, and come back in, and I want you to make 10 glasses for me. There, the guy Taki is doing, he's doing an kanu shaykhli. He's doing it as a type of an umnis, where it happens to be, you pay him by the hour versus by the piece, but mine says, maybe it's possible to have an kanu shaykhli, because he's doing, that's what basically he's doing.
The first guy's not skilled.
What did you say?
The first guy's not skilled.
My point is not whether he's skilled or he's not skilled, but he's being paid for his skill. That's what he's being paid for, as opposed to the guy in a silverware factory, not paying for his skill. He's paying it just someone's got to.
No, but the owner is the owner of the factory. Is the owner of the factory.
The owner is a yid. The child is the owner is a yid, and it's the guy who's doing the work.
I don't know the range. He's got
right. It's not essentially.
It's just depend if he's a cobbler or a pig at a time.
It's a little better,
but still. That should be the deciding factor.
Okay, in my first variation, I didn't think then. My second variation that is, you're going to hear me in a second, is that it could be that the Chai Adams, the Chochmas Adams Huta, wasn't really what we think of as a factory, but rather, if I could use the word, it's more like a market. Which is to say, I have a factory, you want glass made, you come to my guy, I have 10 guys here making glass, you walk in and you say, I want a glass that's this big and this like this, here's a guy who will do it for you, and I'm getting some kind of a cut on this. But I give the guy equipment, I give the guy ingredients, I give the stuff, and a place where people come to get their glass made, again, it's made by hand. So you come in and get your glass made, but essentially, you're hiring this guy, and I'm just doing the setup. I have all the pieces in place, I have the market, everyone who knows this is going to come to buy your glass, but the guy is really Umar, which is as if he's to say he's being paid, he's being, what?
Like a barbershop.
Like a barbershop?
Yeah. Each guy rents his own chair.
Okay, yeah, something like that.
Who's responsible for it? If anything is,
in that case, the person who's making the stuff is really being paid per piece. You're basically coming in and paying him, here's a dollar to make me the following glass. It happens to me it's in the setup of a factory, I mean it's in a big building with a lot of people doing the same thing, but it's not a mass produced factory. This is not a Henry Ford here. Okay? It's a different kind of a thing. Okay? My point is that if the Chochmas Adam means one of those things, Kenzain, that's not what everyone's arguing on. Okay, the cases that everyone argues is if I have a factory that churns out plates, or churns out glass things, and there's a guy pushing buttons or watching the factory, this and that, that guy is not Umun Kanu Mishrachli. It can't say that they would agree to the Chochsam in the right case, that we would say Umun Kanu Mishrachli, even in a factory type set. We'll hear more about it next time, why I'm telling you this. Okay, I have to just throw in one last thing, which is a monkey mention to this, which is, the Chazanish says, Chazanish doesn't say so much about Tfilas Kehillim. The Chazanish does say one thing, probably says more, but one thing that I'm aware of, he says like this. He says, the whole din of Umun Kanu Mishrachli is not true if the civil law, the law of the land is the Umun has no king of Mishrachli. If the rule is that the Umun has no ownership in the Kli, then we don't say Umun Kanu Mishrachli. That's partial. Everyone will agree there's no Umun Kanu Mishrachli. If there's a standing law that says that the Umun doesn't have it. Now, I don't know how that fits, but we know Rabbi Reis is not here. He isn't the Chosh Mishra side of that. To me, that's like a surprise. Right? That we would say Umun Kanu Mishrachli depends on what the civil law is. But he says if the civil law is that the Umun has no ownership in what he's working at, he's just looked at, I guess, like as an hourly employee, then then what? Okay, maybe it's a guy from the Hachi. Maybe that's what he means. It's something like that.
Let's say the thing is that Umun Kanu Mishrachli is a bit of tell your woman, I'm making a deal with you. I don't want you to be Kanu Mishrachli. And that works.
Maybe that's what's going on over here. If that's what's going on here. Chazanish says it. So if that's true, then the din of Umun Kanu Mishrachli is not going to be so gay to us. Okay, this whole possibility, because what's going to be this? Well, I mean, I'm assuming that in law where we are, that's where it is. The woman doesn't have any rights to the clean. Doesn't say there's no concept in American or Chinese or European law that says is
about
that what?
That what? It's a lien. Does it work for his lien?
Which means
guy that's working electric work in your house, he might have a lien on your.
a lien to say is that I did the work, I have a lien on it until you pay me.
So you know,
it might be it may be the same as Umu Kana Bishra Akhli. In Umu Kana Bishra Akhli, he doesn't have a right to walk away with it. He only has a right to hold it till you pay him. Once you pay him, he doesn't have a right. He's forced to sell it to you at the price that you made up with him beforehand. Right? That's the deal. So okay, so I'll have to work together.
It's a dinner of a mashkin. I have the cleaner. You want my money, pay me the money from over, I'll give it back to you.
But that's what Umu Kana Bishra Akhli is also. Umu Kana Bishra Akhli is also, is that I have the... Let's say the Umar decides that he doesn't want to give it to you. You think he has the right to do that? No, of course not. There's a deal before that if you pay him for his work, you pay him for the work.
Yeah, but he has to buy it back from you.
So, but
he's saying maybe just a mashkin, he has the right to hold on to it.
Maybe Umar Kana Bishra Akhli is a long dove on this. So is that I have the rights to it until you pay me. Okay, but so I'll have to look at that before, because it's going to be... It's going to be in the game for next time. So I have to find out about that. It'll be in the game for next time.
Yeah, sure.